I have no words to convey my sensation. For this warm welcome, warm reception. It seems that it can happen only in Colombia. I never felt this way before. This is something that comes straight from the heart. One cannot stay indifferent to all that. I found here people who cares about life, not just to live, rather also to know whatever for and what can we achieve during this life. I hope that we'll have to talk about it today and also tomorrow. As long as we're together, I'm prepared to be with you and to answer all your questions and to provide you with everything that you require of me. So let's start. Well, you can go ahead and ask questions now. Go ahead and ask whatever you want to. We all see that we're living in special days, special period, era, and we were privileged after many incarnations to reach a state where we can open up for ourselves for the very first time the secret of life. We're not the only ones talking about it. We feel it from many scientists and other people in the world. That we are living in special times. A very special time. And this whole long period of history we've been through during decades, it now comes to its end, and we're moving on to the next stage. We've completed our evolution as creatures on the face of the earth, only on the face of the earth. And we begin to acquire another dimension of our existence, which is called Adam, he who resembles the general nature. We acquire that degree and condition if we become similar to nature. And this is what we study about in our wisdom, basically. And when we gather into groups, there we try to keep the general law of nature, connection between everyone. And then through our connection, through our unity, we begin to feel the general vast force of nature, the hidden force of nature, which begins to be revealed gradually to the extent that we connect among us into a group. So this is our goal. Therefore, it is very preferable that we will organize a group here. And inside the group, if we will work the right way, then we will be able to rise to that degree and to show everyone, the entire humanity, we will be able to set an example how we are moving on and away from this crisis into a degree of happiness and good existence. Go ahead and ask.
Gil, do we have another microphone? Okay, so we can come here and ask from here. We're saying that there are 12 tribes of Israel. How do we, in our time, how will we be able to approach this or speak about this? I don't think it's even an issue. And why do we need this? Because we are relating to all the people in the world who long to reach the purpose of creation, to discovering the upper force that is in nature. And it's unrelated and has nothing to do with any nation or country. Also, Israel is not really a nation. There was once a group in Babylon. You're familiar with this explanation that from Babylon, where there was a crisis similar to what we are experiencing in the world today, and that group also became unified with love of friends and went through many phases. They grew, they expanded, they became a big group, about 3 million people. They were divided to 12 tribes according to the sons of Jacob. And 10 of which disappeared, just as it happened with all the ancient nations in history. And what was left from the two tribes is basically all the Israelites all over the world. But that group already did its work of discovering the wisdom of Kabbalah and spreading it and passing it down to us. Today, we have to realize it all over the world. And all our friends in any country, doesn't matter who they are, what they are, we're all humans. We're all descendants of the same Adam. Which is the same one soul. So we have to unite in our thoughts, aspirations, desires, and so that's how we go back to becoming connected as the collective soul. And therefore it says in the wisdom of Kabbalah that there is no difference between people at all. There's only a difference in at what pace the various people advance towards the question of the meaning of life. Some feel this question, and like us, we want to know, what do we live for, how do we live, what is our motivating force? What's our fate? Can we really manage our own life? How will we discover the upper world, the system that manages us, which is hidden behind this entire matter? Some people wish to discover this all over the world. This is us all over the world, and some from day to day join and wake up with this question, and they join our circles. And the same ancient wisdom of Kabbalah helps us solve this problem. And that's how we advance. And let's hope that this year, if we make a good effort, we'll open this general acknowledgement for the world that there's a solution for this escalating crisis we're in, and we'll unlock the answer to ourselves and show it to the world. in our time the ego has peaked to the maximum level. How can we use that ego for the collective goal, for the benefit of the whole? We have evolved for thousands of years, each time by the growth of our ego. Our ego is the same engine that propels us forward. So, first we have to know that our ego is a positive force. As much as it pushes us towards negative things, still, without it, we would not advance. But the problem is not the ego itself. The problem is that it's not in balance with the force opposite to it. Everything in nature is balanced. Plus and minus, south and north, east and west, light and darkness, doesn't matter what it is, it all works in harmony. Only one force is hidden, which is the positive force against our ego. And that is done deliberately so that we ourselves will demand the positive force, and that we want to bring that force in order to balance the ego, to balance it. Not to destroy, to eradicate our ego, our nature. We relate to everything there is as something that should be. The question is only, how do we balance the negative effects, what we call in general the will to receive? By the opposite positive force. And by drawing the positive force so that these two forces work together in parallel, in tandem and harmony between them. This basically helps us understand what is the general global system of nature that governs us. The system of forces that lies behind the matter which we see. By this we begin to open up our sensitivity and see the system that guides us, that directs us. But since we discover the positive force as the counterbalance to the negative force, it turns out that we ourselves begin to manage the system, and that's what we need to achieve. So our ego will actually help us discover the higher harmony of nature, if we relate to that ego correctly. And the world does not understand this. So people think that, first of all, we have nothing to do, what can we do? We're evil, okay, you know. That's what we are. And that's why all we do is try to confine people using police, prison, fear, regulations, and it doesn't work. We see that it doesn't work. What we need is to draw the counterbalance, and then these two forces will be in balance. Vitaly from Santa Marta group, he asks whether how should we relate to the difference between men and women in the group, and if and whether men should be more active in dissemination in order to bring more men to the group. We are in the process of the collective correction of humanity. In the past, as with any businesses, you know, men used to lead in science, technology, and everything, everywhere. And the woman used to be at home. This has changed a long time ago. Today, women, like men, are everywhere. On the one hand, it is not so good because the woman does not take care of her home and children, which is where the husband can't replace her. But on the other hand, we have to realize that this is probably the type of development that we have to go through until there will be some sort of a middle point, some sort of a balance in between. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that eventually, certainly, there will be a regression back from this crazy industrial era, and the woman will be more at home, both men and women, because we don't have that much work all over the world, not enough jobs anyway. We're going to be in situations where many people will be unemployed and it will become normal. It will be normal. But people will engage in changing themselves. By working on building the right environment. If the woman comes home, she always has to be learning through different courses in order to know how to take care of the husband and the children, how to educate them. She has to really hold the family strongly, tightly, and educate the family and the children. And we're developing this type of education, and also making sure that the man will also go through so this has to happen in the near future. We'll have to move towards this. Evolution will push us to this in any case. And in relation to groups, women have to be very active and support and sustain the groups, and also be as a form of some stable basis. And by that, the group can basically move forward properly. Because women are more stable. They're used to going through ups and downs and changes while staying patient. And their support of the man is critically important. I don't think that a man group can advance without the support of women around it. And if the women group in general is strong, then the men group advances. We have such groups in the world who went through pretty complicated states, both in Russia and in Canada and America. And it actually depends a lot on the women, how the group came out of those harsh states. That's why I'm saying that the men have to make sure that the women have their place to do their work in dissemination, and it will help them a lot. It's like at home, for instance. The woman sends her man to school and to bring sustenance to sustain the family, and that's how it is in the group as well. From Santa Marta, he is asking a question, but it's also an invitation to the men. He wants to know your opinion about studying tests and Pticha, whether you do you recommend that the groups will emphasize this. And personally, he has this phenomena where he studies tests. He wants to see if you can explain what he's going through and what a person is going through when he studies that these sources. The wisdom of Kabbalah is divided to two parts. The first part is how do we organize the group? How do we relate to reality, to nature? Man's relation to what's outside of him. And if he And if he works on this correctly, and he creates an environment far and close to him, and he begins to relate to it as his own parts, that the whole of reality is actually what I see within. It's all mine. It's all my qualities. If he relates to all of nature as one, then he begins to discover that all we feel essentially is a desire. And in the desire, there are all kinds of phenomena of the universe, and everything on it. When he relates himself to this entire system as one, he begins to discover that there's only one desire, and in that desire, it's like a big field. And there are laws in it. It's a force field. And this is what's explained in TAS, or TES as you call it in English. This is what we learn. Now, studying Talmud Asra Sfirot is worthwhile. Because when we study, we are drawn to the same state. To discovering the force that governs us, this force field. This is also what they discover today in quantum physics, and in many areas, actually, they find a force field that we're in. We should study it, but not in order to know all the details there right now. Because what does it help me if I don't feel it, if I don't discover it? There were great people who discovered this force field. And I have to discover it. To simply know what's there is just dead wisdom. Therefore, we have to know how to study Talmud Asra Sfirot, not in order to simply know what's written, but in order to discover it. Question is whether only by the wisdom of Kabbalah it's possible to discover or develop the point in the heart. All methods deal with human nature. there are approximately 3,800 different methods in the world. And they all deal with our nature. No method deals with how to draw a counterbalance to our nature in order to balance it. And how to achieve balance. Where there is my nature, called left, the left side, the ego, and by being in a group, in an environment, I discover the positive force, the right line, and by that, by these two forces, I begin to manage myself. And every time I reach balance, the ego rises higher, and then I become evil again, and then I need a greater counterbalance. And by the group, by the study, I again draw that force above upon me, and then I reach balance, and in this balance I discover the higher reality for another moment, and again the left line rises again, and then again I don't want anything, I'm despaired, and so on, and again I need to draw the right force and balance it with the left side. And I can do it again for another moment, and again, until I reach complete balance. And what happened was that until then, by then, my left force grew and grew and grew, and I drew upon it the right force again and again, and now I have two balanced forces in the complete measure that I was supposed to discover them, according to the root of my soul. And this is basically the form of advancement. I haven't found in the world any such method, meaning the method of balancing our evil nature by the positive force that we draw from outside, from beyond what we feel and this reality. This reality is felt in our ego, in the left. When we start drawing the right, then we begin to feel two worlds. What we feel now is what we feel in our ego. And when we draw the right force, then we feel the upper force, the higher reality, and thus we begin to live in both worlds. I haven't found such a method. All other methods usually deal with okay, we have this ego, we have this evil human nature, we have to decrease it just as much as possible. And it's correct. If you don't draw the right force, then at least the left force should be as little as possible. in the morning you talked about the education crisis. What is our actual concern here, and if between these two, in terms of deficiency and weakness, in terms of the education crisis? I spoke about education as a means for solution. We advance by our ego throughout evolution, and we've come to a point where we must do something with our nature. So far, we have evolved by our ego, and it pushed us to relatively good things. We've built a family, human society, industry, education. We've created a life that is as best as we could. But the problem is that now we've come to a point where we have to do something with our nature, because it starts destroying us. And it started about 50 years ago. Scientists started writing about this since then, that if we only ascended before that, and we've built the family and society and economy and all those systems, and the nature that pushed us forward were as if good, pushing us as a progress. And then it started ruining everything since the 50s, starting from the 50s of the last century. And then we started entering a crisis of drugs and depression, and we started doing all kinds of things in the world that there was no need for, to simply build and create, produce things only to sell them and so on. And then the whole bubble, economic bubbles, financial bubbles started and so on. So our ego grew and came to a point of saturation, a certain maximum, and then it started chewing itself, feeding on itself. And so today we see that instead of really advancing in all ways, there is some tendency downwards. This is basically how nature invites from us a change in our relation to it. If before that we only followed the development of our ego, now we can no longer do so, because it will bring us to destruction, to the worst possible things. Instead, we now need to start working against it, to counterbalance it. As a single force, it can no longer push us to anything good, because it has exhausted itself. He's asking if we can eat. If we can start the meal. Oh, of course. You'll be eating and I'll be talking.
Fernando Trujillo, me Santa Marta. Luis Fernando Trujillo, me Santa Marta.
A friend from Santa Marta, he says there is a process that we all have to go through in order to reach the degree of man. But those who search for spirituality actually find all kinds of problems in this process. Why do we find all of these problems and economic problems and so on? What is the reason? When we begin studying the wisdom of Kabbalah and connecting with other people who study, and organizing as a group, we begin to discover many problems. And this is basically the true ego that now unfolds. For many life cycles, the ego has been pushing you to this right moment. It has developed you until it brought you into this group, into the wisdom of Kabbalah. And now, when you begin to be connected to others, there's a different form of ego that happens in order to advance you towards balancing with the correct force, the good force. And therefore, we feel in all the groups many difficulties and problems. People begin to fight, even such people who would never fight in life. All of a sudden, they have problems, and a person becomes very tense and can't really stand anything. It's exactly that ego that can be balanced only with the positive force. And this will not stop. It won't stop until you'll begin to draw the counterforce. Again, we only advance by the two forces. And the force is growing in order for you to balance it with the right, and it won't leave you. If you leave the group, if you leave Kabbalah, then you go back to regular life. Everything becomes easier. You don't have that friction with the others. But those who want to evolve actually go through unpleasant states, but there's no choice, otherwise you will not develop. If you won't have a great left force and a great right force. Oh, he says everyone started eating, so now they're not asking. And Rav says, no, it's fine, don't worry. Don't be ashamed of anything. Go there, take food, eat pleasantly. And you can also go and bring us something to eat, Racheli.
fuerza la paloma busca el nido, a sus pichones quiere alimentar. El mar y el horizonte se han fundido, así yo con mi hermano me de allá. Yala, yala, hermanos, despierten de una vez. Vengan, vengan, vengan los aplausos. Yala, yala, hermanos, unidos de una vez, nuestra alegría al cielo alcanzará. Yala, yala, hermanos, despierten de una vez. Vengan, vengan, vengan los aplausos. Yala, yala, hermanos, unidos de una vez, nuestra alegría al cielo alcanzará. Yala, yala, hermanos, despierten de una vez. Vengan, vengan, vengan los aplausos. Yala, yala, hermanos, unidos de una vez, nuestra alegría al cielo alcanzará. Yala, yala, hermanos, despierten de una vez. Vengan, vengan, vengan los aplausos. Yala, yala, hermanos, unidos de una vez, nuestra alegría al cielo alcanzará.
Let all the boats, she's a big fire, shoot. Para Colombia, de Colombia para ellos.
This is for you, Rav. This is a gift from us in Colombia. Rav is asking, what does that mean, Teluarra, that we're singing? It means open it up. How to open it? Okay, the box looks good. It is a very special symbol. Okay, and here? Okay. Do you have to do this, like hocus pocus? Maybe I won't open it. Oh. What is the meaning of it? It's a tool, it's a something called boboro. The Indians kept their most precious things in this vessel. It allowed them to rise above corporeal states. And this, what this symbolizes is that all of us as the Columbia group, all the groups are in this one kli. I can't express what I feel truly. You can feel that your whole heart is in it. we really have to make sure that we are one kli. If we will all be together here, then our spirit will most certainly rise above. Thank you very much, deeply. Thank you. Is a gift for Norma and a gift for Ariel. Rav said, also Ariel. Rav said, put it on. It even matches the color. Rav asked her, do you know what this is? She said, yes, it's to put over here. And earrings as well. Oh, nice. That's what Rav said. This is a gift for Tal.
Sony, ven. Todavía no, ven para acá.
Muy bien, y mientras... that.
De todas las ciudades donde estamos y quedamos con música en esta parte final para terminar. Gracias.